Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, God is good to you. And that is not changing soon. That is never going to change. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
You can have a seat this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you happy to fellowship with the brethren this morning? Glory to God. Glory to God. God is good. All right, quickly this morning, we are going to be considering embracing the finished work of Christ. Hallelujah. Embracing the finished work of Christ. I have no doubt in my heart that if you are in this church, you should regularly agree with us that Christ finished the work. Hallelujah. How many of us believe that he finished the work? How many of us agree he finished the work? So we are looking at how high and how you can embrace the finished work of Christ. The believer is not accidental. The believer is not a spontaneous reality. The believer came out of a process. The believer came out of something. The believer came out of an experience. And that experience is not imperfect. Hallelujah. It was a perfect experience. It was a complete experience. It was a finished experience. It was not partial. When God wrote his work in Christ, he did it perfectly. Hallelujah. But beyond the reality of that perfect work is my ability, is your ability to be able to embrace it so that it translates into that which God wants us to be on earth. Hallelujah. God did not just say, I'm going to give my only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life for the fun of it. There was a goal. And Jesus Christ executed the process very well. Hallelujah. I don't know if it amazes you as it does to me that the Lord Jesus was on the cross and some guys came and mocked him. Said, you want to save the whole world? Oh, you said you're going to save the world. You have told us that you're a king. You have told us that you are the Son of God. You are called, you dare to call God Father. But here you are on the cross. Save yourself. And Jesus did not say, let me do a deity for these people. And he stood. He went through it. He went through that process. The work was finished. Hallelujah. Say the work was finished. But how can I embrace it? Hallelujah. We are products of that which Christ went through. The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 to 10, it said, it's because of what he suffered. He said he's able to do what? He's able to bring many sons to glory. So he did that so that you and I will come into glory. But are we truly embracing this reality? So how can I, as a believer, blood-bought, saved by grace, amazing grace, how can I embrace the reality of the work that was done? The work was done at the foundation of the world. Are we together? But before our very eyes, all the eyes of the witnesses, as we have seen, the work crystallized into time. And they saw it. They saw Jesus die for the sins of the whole world. So how can I embrace it? Am I making light of it? I've already laid hold of it. Am I benefiting from it maximally? Hallelujah. Now, the idea of a finished work does not mean Jesus Christ did some works and he didn't finish. So it's not like, okay, Jesus Christ maybe did 10 things. He finished one. He now say finished work of Christ. He had 9 that he didn't finish. No. The work he came to do, he finished. Hallelujah. He finished that which he came to do. He fulfilled that he came and that he needed to fulfill in time. So the work was completed. It was done. was a done deal. So that one day you and I would also come into time and we are going to realize that, okay, there is death hanging upon me, but if I can just change by receiving the gospel, I'll have life evermore. So to what extent are we as believers, to what extent are we embracing the finished work? The work was done. Luke 13:32. Jesus Christ told, send the guys back to Herod. I said, tell that fox. He said, today I will do cures. Today I will do healings. Abi? He said, but tomorrow I shall what? He said, on the third day I shall what? I shall be perfected. I will complete my work. You guys don't need to rush. I will take my time. And that's why he came. He didn't just come, entered head, and he died. He had things to fulfill. And he fulfilled them step by step. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's look. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 to 11. We read it this morning already. Hebrews 4. The work was finished from the foundation of the world. It said, let us therefore, are we there? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 to 11. Yeah, because we are reading for your second time today, I may have to rush, but I will still not rush. Okay. Hebrews 4, 1 to 11. Are we together? It said, let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. He said, for we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest on the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was not preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Now, hallelujah. This verse 7, could it be referring to believers? Could it be referring to you and I? Why? Because we have believed. He said the same way the gospel was preached unto them, it was preached to some guys, right? But it did them no profit. Why? Because it didn't mix with faith in their hearts. Because they did not receive it. So this cannot be talking to you and I, because you and I have believed the gospel. Hallelujah. We have entered the rest. We have entered the finished work of Christ. So, ideally, the word has profited us, and it will yet profit us. Right? Because there are few things to be done on this earth. And what we need to do is, we need to lay hold of this. There is still work. There is work of the ministry to be done. There are still souls to reconcile back to God. And there is no way I can be an effective minister of the gospel if I don't understand that I have fully embraced the finished work of Christ. So, the finished work to the unbeliever would mean what? Would mean what? Salvation, Abby. Now, what would it mean to the believer embracing it? It would mean that you are walking in that fullness of life. It would mean that you are exploring that fullness of life. I like the way. Okay, let's complete this as we go to the next. Let's say, verse 8 says, For if Jesus, which is Joshua, had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest hath also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Praise God. Say, I'm in the finished work of Christ. Say, I've entered the rest of Christ. I've entered the rest of God because I am a believer. So we are in rest. Now, there are not so many things that the Apostle Paul was so passionate against as people would dare to put people under bondage again. Am I right? Because Paul, before he became a believer, also had a lot of things to boast in. And that was what he was talking about in Philippians chapter 3. You know, he was saying a lot of things in Philippians 3. He was like, okay, I'm an Hebrew of Hebrews. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm of the stock of Israel. He said a lot of things. He now said everything. He said, I counted all this but loss, that I may gain Christ. Now, Paul was not talking. How can I say? Paul was not talking from the point of, he wasn't talking from the point of, I'm doing this now so that I can gain Christ. Because at that time, Paul had already gained Christ. But it was, as it were, documenting the process that led to him gaining Christ. He now got to a point in his life that he realized, just like I would say these days, that my fasting, I used to fast 5 times in a day. I used to pay my tithe weekly. I do this. He said, but at the time, I realized that these things cannot save me. So I counted all this but loss that I may gain Christ. And that's when he got to verse 10. He said, that I may know him. That I may know him. He's not like, I'm saying, how can I explain this? Okay, I'm saying, I'm here now. I'm walking. So I'm saying, this is what Paul was saying. Paul was saying that I went to primary school. I went to secondary school. Then I did IGMB. Then I went to the university. That I may be a worker today. Praise God. So it's not coming from the angle of that I just want to be a worker. So he's trying to document the things he actually let go. And I make bold to say this morning that we still have a lot of people, a lot of believers, who have a lot of things that they are holding on to that has not made them embrace the finished work of Christ fully. We still have a lot of things. I mean, everything is free in Christ Jesus. Everything. Then you see situations where some things happen to you and some people still come and they trouble you. And that was what Paul said. Paul said that, I wish that those that trouble you, I wish they were cut off. We still have men of God. We still have believers around us who threaten us, who trouble us today. Remember some times ago, I was sick and I was coordinating a fellowship. And someone comes and says, are you sure you have not sinned? This one that you are sick. I don't know if that thing has happened to you before. There is an anger that comes upon you. Not for the person, but against the sickness. I was like, I was not even ready to debate with the guy if I had sinned or not. I said, even if I had sinned, the devil dare not touch me. And almost immediately, I commanded healing into my body and I was fine. And that's one of the things this would do to you today. You would know that in every sphere of your life, in everything you do as a believer, embrace the finished word of Christ. He did everything perfectly just for you and I. He had you in mind. A lot of things. I had a very good friend who is a believer, has a blog, writes Christian stories and everything. And I had an accident. And rather than try to identify with my plight, the next thing she says was, it's because you don't pay your tithes. But now, you know, we don't get angry like we used to get angry those days again. So I just told her, I said, because telling me that I had an accident because I don't pay my tithe is bringing the goodness of God into question. I needed to pay my tithe to God to be good to me. And I said something to her. I said, with all these years that I've stopped paying tithe as we know it. Now, with all these years that I've stopped paying tithe and I had an accident and God still spared my life, He's a good God. Let us always find a way to judge God faithful. Find a way to judge God as good. And that's going to restore a kind of confidence to you that you can navigate the spheres of life beautifully. Why? Because you have embraced what? The finished work of Christ. Hallelujah. So there is a finished work for us to rest in. There is something for us to delight in. And before our very eyes, they crystallized. He went through incarnation, came to the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus. And even what the intercession we benefit so much from today. Say to your neighbor, I will embrace the finished works. I would embrace the finished works. Colossians 2:6. Colossians 2:6. Says that as you have received Christ, Abby? Colossians 2:6. Colossians 2:6. Where is it? Okay. Are we there? Colossians 2:6 says, as ye have therefore received Christ, Jesus the Lord. He says, so what? So walk ye in him. Verse 7. Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with what? With thanksgiving. Let me read verse 8. He said, beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Verse 10. It says, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Let no man spoil you, because there is a rest you are in that you need to be aware of. Hallelujah. Now, I speak to us as believers. That's what I'm saying. There is a rest that you are in, just that you are not aware of it. Do we understand that? We need to be aware so as to be able to embrace that we have a rest in God. That there is no stress in God. Oh God, I'm sounding like a motivational speaker. You have a rest in God. There is no stress in God. Hallelujah. Right. Okay. And that's one of the reasons you say nonsense sometimes. Well, by the time you say rest, you're not looking for something that is close to rest. You know, say, hey. You know, say there is a rest in God and God is not going to test you. So you already create a possibility that God can test you, but he's not going to test you. It was a lot of beautiful nonsense. Hallelujah. So there is a rest in God and what did I say? Stress, I mean. Rest and stress. Hallelujah. So we have therefore received Christ, that same manner. Let's just walk in it. The same way we came helpless, the same way we came empty-handed, the same way we had nothing to boast of, the same way we can't end everything as loss, just like Paul did. We should never have anything of our own, even in it. It is impossible to boast in the flesh and the spirit at the same time. It can never happen simultaneously. It is impossible. So it's either you are delighting yourself in the victory of the spirit or in the victory of the flesh. You cannot do part of this and part of that at the same time simultaneously. So any time that was like at times, you know, people can push you sometimes. I'm sure they pushed Paul at some point in time and said, let me boast. He said, but I'm boasting as a fool. Abi? The things they can push you, just be like, okay, let me just tell these people one or two things. And sometimes people just say, you cannot do anything, Joe. Usually, you just know the Bible. I'm like, okay, let's do spiritual small. You know, you do some things like that. But I'm saying there are times that if you look around, you would almost find something to delight yourself in. I think it was Brock Billy Akoni that first taught us years ago that one day he was supposed to preach somewhere and he was sleeping. Is that because at that time he had thought that it was his prayer? Now, I'm not saying you should not pray. If you don't pray, you are stupid. Okay, if you don't pray, you are not. if you don't pray, something is wrong with you. Hallelujah. No, if you don't pray, something is wrong with you. You should pray. Okay. So it was probably that now told us that he used to think that it was because he prays. That's why it was happened when he's preaching. And he said one day, he now invited him for a meeting. He said he slept off. And they kept singing praise and worship, thinking he was busy with the Lord. So nobody even entered to go and wake him up, that they didn't want to interrupt the fellowship. So when he woke up, he realized that, oh, the program had started, and he rushed out. He said he preached that night, and the power of God was available strongly. And that was the day it dawned on him that it's just because of the mercies of God. So when you see the move, see, your best move without the mercies of God is no move. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Okay. So we live by no other means aside the finished work of Christ. Galatians chapter 5. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5. The works of... Okay? Galatians 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Hallelujah. Now, he's not talking about what you do or what you fail to do. He said, be not entangled again with what? With the yoke of bondage. Now, you recall that Peter had said something like this in Acts 2. He said, you guys, you are wicked guys. He said, how do you think the yoke our fathers could not bear? Why are you putting it on these people to bear? Remember that in Matthew, you know, Jesus' woe chapter. There's woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. Woe unto you, this and that. Remember, he said that the Pharisees, the terrible thing about them, he said, you are going to go around to make a proselyte. A proselyte is supposed to be a form of a priest. He said, but you are going to make the same person. You are going to make him twice a candidate of hell. So there is a yoke. There is a bondage. And that's what Jesus Christ said. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heaven laden, all ye that are trying to do works apart from the finished works, all ye that are trying to delight in the other things apart from what Christ has done. He said, you guys should stop this nonsense. Come unto me, and what? All ye that labor and are weary. He said, I will give you what? I will give you rest. He said, what? He said, because his yoke is what? Is easy, and his burden is light. And some years ago, we went for an outreach. So we had a prayer team. And we had a prayer team, so they were praying. So I think they prayed for like one day stretch. Those guys do not eat. So they came out. So when we were going for publicity in the evening and everything, and these guys were not laughing. They were just like, I'm like, how far now? Pray you. What happened? These guys, all of you are bony. What happened now? They said they should not play. Like, I didn't, I just say, I just don't know. Like, he's just not wicked now. I even pray, he still came out, he said, he should not laugh. What happened? If you like, smoke, drink, carry hair dice for demon, it will not go. As long as you don't stand on the authority of the finished work of Christ. Say, I delight myself in the works of Christ. So, verse 2 says, behold, I foresee unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. He said, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law. Now, those guys, some of them were circumcised. So, he was trying to say, those that boast in circumcision, that are just circumcision, there is still a bigger part of the law to be kept to. Praise God. You know, when he says, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are falling from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Every time you are doing something in your flesh, every time you are doing it, you are making Christ of no effect unto you. You are making the finished work unprofitable unto you. You are not embracing the finished work of Christ. Say, I delight myself in his work. I delight myself in his work. You know, sadly, we have a lot of loud voices that are trying to encourage us to discard that which Christ has done for us. And they are respectable voices. They are voices that we have learned to know for long. I mean, some of us, there are some truths after they have shown us everything in the scripture. You're like, but what is the but? What is the but? But these things were written for us so that we may understand that this is the rights, these are the privileges, this is the inheritance we have in Christ Jesus. But we take it for granted and go after other things. We start building other things onto ourselves, heap other doctrines onto ourselves. Why? Because we feel that the work of Christ does not suffice, but it does. Praise God. Praise God. We have doctrines. We have persuasions that make it difficult to continue in this liberty. You have been saved to continue in the same manner you have been saved. The same way you came and say, I have nothing. We used to sing that song in Yoruba. Anonimo bere, anonimo bere, avijare mama ko, anonimo bere. I'm asking for mercy. I have no justification of myself. Me, nothing in me can acquit me. So all I deserve, all I'm asking for is mercy. Praise God. I'm not saying you shouldn't be praying and asking for mercy. I'm just making an illustration. Praise God. Say, I've received mercy. I've received mercy. I've received mercy. I've received mercy. Have mercy as a believer. Galatians chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. Again, to make a long read, Galatians 2, chapter 1. Chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. Are we there? Okay. Can we read it together as a church? He said, then, 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by enemies I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Verse 5, to whom we gave place by subjection. No, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Praise God. I give no false doctrine subjection. Not for 5 minutes, F. No. I have a favorite partner when we are contending for issues of faith. This is Brother Joshua. You know, when we are talking, we're talking to someone, I'm like, okay, maybe, let's say we are talking about fasting or sowing money to reap money. I am the type that will allow you to talk, and I want to hear what you are saying. Brother Joshua is the kind of guy they are talking about here. Okay, shut up. I say, you don't know Bible. Keep quiet. I'm talking. That's how you harass these people. Hey, at least me, I will allow you to give me the feedback then and ask you questions from what you are saying. Joshua will not allow you to talk. I say, shut up. You don't know Bible. You're arguing. I say, you should listen. I'm talking about Bible here. Yes, but that should be the attitude. We are not going to give them any place. Paul said 1 hour. 5 minutes. It's nonsense. Because we cannot allow you to come and spy on our liberty and take it away from us. Because we are free. We are free indeed. The only ordinance we have is the ordinance of Christ. The only ordinance we have is the ordinance of Christ. We are free. So you say, we gave them to whom we gave place by subjection. No, not for an hour. Who has another version of verse 5? Another version of verse 5. Are we all using King James in this church? NLT. Okay, sir. But we used to give in to them for a single moment. We wanted to preserve the truth of the gospel message for you. See, I said that. Oh, good. How can I use this word now? Okay, I used to say anytime, I'm not abusing now, I just want to say it as an example. I used to say it, but now they've taught us how to have season speech today, so I will change. But I used to say it before this morning, that every stupid man you see is a product of someone that failed to cancel him years ago. Some of us, some things we are fighting today, if someone had sit us down when we were small and say, your head is not working. What's this nonsense you are doing? Do you know our brain would have reset? Now, the reason we still have doctrines that does not encourage embracing the finished work of Christ today is because we have a lot of people who have speared these doctrines. They have given them place for moments, not even just a single moment. Some of us, an average church service will take like 2 hours, and someone will be saying rubbish from the beginning of the service till the end, and you will still go next Sunday. We need to turn around and know that we should not spare them any subjection. Because a lie repeated too often can pass across as truth. A lot of things some of us believe when we're small. And that's why I do not subscribe to the disposition that says everybody that does this, they are just foolish. Everybody that does it, they are thieves. And then when Daddy Free just comes and says anybody who collects tithes is a thief. No. There are some people who don't know. And of course, this is not to say there are some people that are just being mischievous. Okay? But I'm saying that we should be able to say, okay, no matter what, I will defend and preserve the gospel for my generation. Say, I embrace the finished work of Christ. I embrace the finished work of Christ. Acts chapter 15. Acts 15 is a long read. God wants all that he did in Christ to be fully embraced. Everything he did in Christ. Acts chapter 15, from verse 1 to 19. Are we all there? Acts 15. The book of the Acts of the Apostles. Ishe awon apostoli. Okay, from verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. The version is, except you pay your tithe, you cannot make heaven. Except you do this, you cannot heal the sick. You cannot raise the dead. No, but this is not true. It's lie. I saw something that got me angry yesterday. That every time I see a Jew, I should rejoice. Because the Jew is my sign, is the sign of my salvation. I will withdraw the person's name. Yeah? You know, I'm in Nigeria, in the church in Nigeria. See, Jesus will come and rule the world from Israel, from Jerusalem, with all that believe in him. You know, say that when you see a Jew, rejoice, rejoice. He said, because it's a what? It's a sign of your salvation. I told someone else. When I told Bishop Philemon, he said, this is no high sounding nonsense. This is low sounding nonsense. I'm like, are you kidding me? He said, you are sealed with the word, with the Holy Ghost of promise. Until when? Until the day of redemption. So, it is even better that I say raising the dead, as much as we know it's not a sign. It's better I say raising the dead is a sign of my salvation. Hope you know. It's better. I mean, you know, because, but it's not a sign actually, because some guys went and did all these things. I just guys said, shut up. He said, you guys should not rejoice about it, but rejoice that your name is written in the book of life. See, God, how can I say this? No, spirituals are good. They do spirituals very well, like, is your right. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. But do you know that if you don't heal one single sick person, you are redeemed forever? Yeah, I've not even raised the dead myself. We will have it. Yeah, that's the spirit. We'll raise the dead man. Okay, but I'm saying that if you don't do a single miracle, but you believe this gospel as God's power unto salvation, unto all men, do you know that you are guaranteed of a life of life eternal? I see a Jew that is not born again. Like, so, everybody would, you know that, to rejoice very well. So when I see one Jew like that, like, a Jew, glory! Are you even born down? Are you a Jew? Ah, yeah, sign of my salvation. So when I see a Jew and I see him as a sign of my salvation. See, when I see anybody that is related to Joseph, I say, you are my salvation. You are not the sign. You are the salvation. I should worship the person. I should not rejoice. If I see Joseph, if I get to the manger and I see people that were there, maybe all those shepherd guys, and I see them there, I'm like, you are looking for my salvation. Jesus, the boy Jesus here. What is just wrong with people? So all of us now, before we have assurance of salvation, we should go to Israel and look for a Jew. Some of you that you are in Abuja, you've never gone to Kaduna. Some of you have never gone to where is this place? Suleja. You know, your life is Abuja Kufa. How would you have assurance of salvation? You'll never be sure. So you can't embrace. You can't even embrace what you are not sure. I don't even see a sign. Like, you're just looking for signs, you just go Facebook. If you're a Jew, reach me inbox. Praise God. Let's do Snapchats. Let me see you so that I can rejoice. Hallelujah. Say, I embrace the finished work of Christ. He said, okay, let's continue. Verse 2. He said, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And sometimes I can't just wrap my mind around something. They said they believed. What did they push them to believe? And they were saying we should keep the law of Moses. Okay, let's continue. That's not my business. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when they had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, and that the Gentiles be by my mouth should hear the word of gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. So from this house, what is the joy, what is the sign of our salvation? Holy Ghost. Is there a Jew? He said he gave them, the way God bears witness that you are saved is by giving you what? The Holy Ghost. He said he bear them witness and giving them the gift of Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and puts no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by what? By faith. He said, now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles about them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon had declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written. After this I will return, and I will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the rest thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of them might seek after the Lord. And all the Gentiles, upon whom my name is called, seeth the Lord who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is, that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned unto God. Praise God. Say, I'm not troubled. I am not troubled because the work was finished for my sake. I have turned to the Lord, and that's all I ever need. Praise God. He said they were putting a yoke that our fathers could not bear. Why are you putting it on these guys? Why are you allowing them to travel under this kind of weight? We knew that it was impossible. As Jesus Christ said, is this Moses that you trust that is the only accuser that you have? And they couldn't keep it. And that's why Jesus was angry. Matthew chapter 18, yeah. He was angry and he was saying, woe to you, friends and Pharisees. You guys will not enter. And those that want to go, you will still not allow them. I mean, people are saying that, see, okay, we want to be free. We are going to give to God because we know that God is good and his mercy endures forever. It doesn't matter if it's 9%, it doesn't matter if it's 15% or 25%. We just want to give. We want to do the work of God. And some people said, hey, we owe is 10% or nothing. And the people are saying 10% or nothing. They are saying, you two, you must do 10% or nothing or you will not enter heaven. He said, why are you trying to constrain these people? By the laws that we couldn't keep, that our fathers could not do anything good with. Say, I embrace the finished work of Christ. And this happened. Galatians 1, verse 6 to 7. Galatians 1, 6 to 7. Quickly, Galatians 1, 6 to 7. Says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, no, Paul was saying, in case you thought the first one was not seasoned speech, that maybe you thought he rolled off my lips by accident. No, I'm saying this every day. He said, I have said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Let me say this. One of the steps, the first step, out of many steps, to embrace the finished work of Christ, is to know men that you should call accursed. Accursed means you know men that you should avoid. The Bible says, mark them and avoid them. Men you should not give subjection unto, not even for 1 minute. Men you should not reckon with, for their word doth eat like canker. Men that would do you no good, as far as embracing the finished work of Christ is concerned. The reason that most of us don't have exploits in ministry, the reason some of us cannot do a lot of things, is because we have not learned to embrace the finished work of Christ. We have examples in the Bible that make us understand that, see, it's not by you, it's by God. In Acts chapter 3, when John and the other guy, when they were getting to the temple and they were trying to raise the guy at the beautiful gate, the spirit of motivation is just upon me. Then the guy at the beautiful gate, whose life was not beautiful. Okay, when they were there, and they healed the guy, the Bible says, why are you guys looking at us? As though it's by our power or holiness that we are able to do this. Told us a lot of things. When you're doing deliverance, they say, when you stand before someone, and the person says, where do you stand? He's not like that. He said, I stand on the floor, the devil just slapped you. Boss! He said, what should he have said? He said, I stand on Jesus. What is wrong with you? I stand on Jesus. I don't understand. The devil would know if you stand on Jesus. But even if you know, you won't even be having that kind of interrogation. Where do you stand? Nonsense. Are we mates? No, we are not mates. I mean, we are not mates. I served in a very funny place. I was very brutal when I was serving. Ah, God. So when I got there, they said that these students used to deal with core members. That if you beat them, your hand will swell, everything. Everybody was scared. These children were so spoilt. I mean, I hate anything called spoilt in this life. I mean, spoiled food, spoiled everything, spoiled to my being. I just spoiled anything. I just did anything spoiled. So, they now gave me the most ridiculous subject to teach them, English language, in a village. So, I was teaching them English in Yoruba already. That was Wala. So, I would say, a noun is the name of any person, animal, place, or thing. Or a noun is the naming word. Or I say, now, you got a mafin pe oruko. And I'm serious. I would teach them in Yoruba. So I had to start from the basics. I started from syllables and everything. So I was teaching them. And some of them were actually getting it. Some of them are in the university now. At that time. I was the toast of the village, like English teacher. They said, yes, they don't see anybody that can teach English. So, but man, like I wanted to take English right from when I was going for service. So me, I was enjoying it. But there were some of these people, they were rebellious. And there is nothing you tell them. I would be in class and I would ask them, hey guys. Do you understand? Yes. Do you understand? Yes. Do you understand? Yes. If I give you a test that you write nonsense for me, I will believe that you understand. You just want to frustrate me. Because you have confessed that you understood. I will give you, so I will just see a lot of things. I will write bricklayer as nonsense. I will write bricklayer. Bricklayer, I was telling you that bricklayer. And I was telling you, you're a beauty killer for me. Now, apart from the fact that they are rebellious, they are stubborn. If you beat them, you know, if you were taught before, you know the stick or whatever cane you're using. You used to have a very big head and a very small tail like that. See, you can waste one cane on one person and those people will not cry. So I had a style I used for them. I will hold that skin by the tail, by that tiny part. I will not flood them with the robust part. So I spend more energy. I'm just throwing it. You know, if you're holding the robust part, you're like, use force. But you know, I'll just hold that tiny place, just throw the I'll beat their life. After, then I was a very stupid person. Like then, I had an affair in my office. And I told him that he wants to test if it's Christianity or Islam that is more powerful. that you should travel to Ilorin, that hell I will catch you and you go on suspension. If it doesn't happen, not a man of God. I didn't travel. I was a terrorist. So we have that kind of issue. I beat these people. I will teach them lessons. I will tell you for lessons, 200 naira per month. They will not still pay my money. Me, I have energy. I will beat all of them in the assembly, the whole school. Because I was only English teacher. I was like, me, so I was teaching, people were teaching math. So every, you know, every lesson, they will have English. So I will move from GS1 to GS2 to GS3, SS1. I didn't go home. My mom will call me and say, my mommy, that, see, the, if not for NYSC, I will never come to this kind of village. Let me just pour myself into them. I like, so I will not go home. I will teach them 7 a.m. in the morning before assembly. Teach them. Don't need school. Teach them. They will still write nonsense for me. And they will not pay my money. 200 naira per month. I will go, all of them on assembly. I will beat them. So at the time, I became the official beater in that school. So everybody just said, go to the staff room, report yourself to Okutoluwari. I said, I was just sit down. I was very wicked. I would tell two of them to slap themselves. And I was the fellowship coordinator of the spirit of Elijah. After beating everything, so they now said that they will show me pepper in the village. That was what I heard. I went to them. I said, I heard that you guys want to show me pepper. That you are beating you guys physically. I will still beat you spiritually. Anytime you come, 12, 1, 2, and I will beat you people. And if you meet physically, can you beat me 1-on-1? I will still beat you. it was very terrible. No, because, and you know, it wasn't like I had anything special I was doing. But I just knew that. I used to tell them that the easiest fight to win for me is a demonic fight. So you see, I'm not fat. If bro Ezekiel wants to beat me, I just size him up. They can never beat me in this life. I used to say it. It's either I'm sure I can beat you or I run from you. So if I see bro Ezekiel and I size him, I'm like, ah, this bro, I will beat you. God has blessed me with long legs. I will run. Or with someone like Judy Joyce, I will beat you. So what am I saying? I used to say, the easiest fight for me to win is even the one in the dream self. You are carrying yourself, all your village people. We beat you. We beat you. We show physically that someone beat you. Like, they want you to do some people. No, why? Because I understood my inheritance in Christ. Someone told me some things, told me crazy things when we were in school. I was scared. I couldn't share with anybody but my fellow ministers in church. I called them and said, hey, this guy. He's the one. We're praying one day in church and the guy manifested. And while we're praying for the girl just told everyone, the other ministers, I told him, oh, and to put that here, I was like, there's something wrong with you. What did you tell me? But others that I told knew what he was trying to say. Yeah, we're able to deliver the girl that day. But we need to understand how powerful we are. We need to understand that the work of Christ for us on our accounts, on behalf of us, was complete. It was finished. All I need to do as a believer is embrace it. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Okay, so we should stop cherishing our labors, our works. We should stop adoring our devotions. We should stop celebrating our givings. We should stop exalting our self-discipline. Rather, celebrate one thing, the finished work of Christ. What you don't celebrate, you cannot attract. Praise God. What you don't celebrate, you cannot attract. Praise God. Until you appreciate the quality of the work Christ... Now I'm sounding like a preacher now. Until you appreciate the quality of the work Christ did for you, you would never understand the need to embrace it fully. Because you don't even know how important it is to you in life. Praise God. You don't know. These things are not bad in themselves. But when it comes to a level that there is a clash between what I have achieved in self and what Christ has done should always win. Praise God. Say, I do not boast in myself. I do not boast in myself. I do not boast in myself. I boast in that which Christ has done. Okay, quickly, let's look at John 24, verse 13. Joshua 24, verse 13. Joshua 24, verse 13. The Bible says, and I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat. Right? Okay, let's go to verse 31. Verse 31 says, and Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. Praise God. Now, did you see knowing works of God driving them in place of serving God? Say, I know the works of God. Say, I know the works of God. And that's why when they came to Jesus in John chapter 6, they said, what should we do? What can we do to do the works of the Father? What did he tell them? He said, the work of the Father is to what? Is to believe. Just believe. Every other thing you would do in life, in ministry, would spring out of believing. Out of that finished work. He said, as you have received Christ, so you walk in what? Walk therein in it. The same manner, the same disposition with which you receive him. He said, walk in it so that you are rooted and established. Praise God. That's what this knowledge would do to you. Not singing, didelo, ni baba, shibula la mi ofe. Glory is okay, holy God. You know that song? That song is saying that, for today, arise tomorrow. God, I don't want. Lift up my head. You're singing nonsense. Abba, understand this. Embrace the finished work of God. If you understand that you are rooted and established. You are rooted and established. You are firm. You are unshakable. You are steadfast. You are unmovable. And you are bound in the work of the Lord. Why? Because you understand what he went through for you. And then you can come out and sing beautifully at any stage. You'll be like, on the way to Calvary, he wept for me. You know that song? He wept for me. He wept for me. On the way to Calvary, he wept for me. He died to save my soul. Or he died to set me free. Yeah, why? Because that would be your testimony every day. That is because he died, was buried, and he rose again. Now, that's the only reason you are able to be victorious in life. Say, the sound of victory abounds around me. We have the sound of victory. Why? Because he died and rose again. Because he died and rose again. And there are some things you cannot play with. Don't play with the finished work of God. See, there is no need coming to church. If you don't believe in the finished work, you're wasting your time. You know the way Paul said it? Paul said that, there is no resurrection of the dead. It's just this life. No wonder, don't worry, let's just be eating and drinking, for tomorrow we die. Is that not what Paul said? He said, for tomorrow we die. Me and Nasiru and Mwede, all of us will die eventually. I don't have assurance of salvation. There is nothing special about it. Why am I coming to church? Why am I doing the work of ministry? Don't just go to club every Friday. Do everything. For all of us, we eat together and drink together, and tomorrow we die. Paul said, I take a kumajayoriwa. Let's just enjoy the end of our life. We don't know tomorrow. Like, why am I fasting? Why am I praying? Why do I study? Why do I meditate? Why do I preach? Why do I get men filled? Why do I train people? If I do not have an assurance of the work that was done without my impute. Now, how do I even measure the degree of my performance? When am I ever going to get to that satisfactory level? If not, if I'm measuring it by myself, if I'm not counting on the works of Jesus. So the way I was keeping afro. And I said, do you know it is wrong for a man to keep long hair? And I asked him a question, how long is long and how short is short? So what standard? I mean, if I can say Bro Hose's beard is too much, what is the standard of a normal beard? Nobody knows. And that's why he's righteous. Yeah. Praise God. His beard is too much. Where is the standard? Show me. Scripture and verse. It must be 1 meter. Moderation. It's moderate. It's moderate. Hallelujah. Your bed is modest now. Glory to God. Okay, so let's look at, let's go for that. Yeah, in church. Okay, embracing the finished work means that I embrace the reality of my righteousness. Say, I am clean. I am not filthy. I am not dirty. I mean, Every day, it must down on you. It must sink into your reality that you are the righteousness of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus. You are righteous. Once you understand that you are righteous, you are righteous today, you will be righteous tomorrow, you will be righteous forever. It does something to you. How you would, how you embrace the work that Christ has done. You can do any other thing within the space and parameter of the finished work. Once you understand that, you would ever remain qualified as long as you are in Christ. You cannot leave Christ. I'm saying because you are in Christ. It's better that way. Because you are in Christ, you are going to do everything within the parameters of the finished work of Christ. So, we don't labor for this righteousness. Isaiah 54, verse 14 to 17. Isaiah 54, 14 to 17. Isaiah 54, 14 to 17. Isaiah 54, 14 to 17 says, in righteousness shalt thou be established. Now, that was from the Old Testament. So, it's not like he's praying that you'll be established in righteousness. He said, and thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. He said, behold, I have created the smith that blow the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the water to waster to destroy. Just pretend you didn't see that. Okay. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of what? Of not doing anything, of doing something. No, it's of who? It's of God. Hallelujah. Seeth the Lord. I'm not the one saying it now. Seeth the Lord. Seeth the Lord. The Lord is saying to you this morning. The Lord is saying to you this morning that your righteousness is of him. You know those days when we want to do programs on campus and you put on the flyer. I say ministry, Holy Ghost. I have ministry, Holy Ghost. And whoever the Holy Ghost decides to use to this, you still come and say nonsense. When I see the flyer, Holy Ghost said this in this meeting. He said your righteousness is of him. Hallelujah. Romans 10 from verse 1 to 10. Now, Apostle Paul is so, see, as I was looking at this study, Apostle Paul was so passionate about this thing. I mean, I've not seen, he was so ferocious against it. He was saying, I wish that those that trouble you are cut off. He said, those that try to do you, they will bear their whole judgment. Every time he was saying that, he was talking about people who bring doctrines and persuasions that may want to discard or that may want to play down the reality of the work Christ did. That was a perfect work. So let's look at what he did in Romans chapter 10. For some guys, the guys that a big emoji in this country said that when we see them, we should rejoice because they are signs of our salvation. Rejoice, go. Juliet. Okay. Romans chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for God, for Israel, is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they are the zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of what? Of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man with the other thing shall live by them. Verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into the heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith is, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, and in thy mouth, that is the word of faith, which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Sir, if you believe in yourself, you'll be disgraced. Mean, if you want to do anything by the arm of flesh, you have no results. Saying that, Paul said that my desire, my passion, what I long for is that these guys will be saved, that they are going to discard their righteousness, just like I did when I was once like them, like he documented in Philippians chapter 3. And say, all these things, I count them loss. Am I saying you should not have these things? No! I'm saying that, see, there are some things you cannot change.
True, true.
Like if you are a Jew, you cannot change it. But you recognize that being a Jew is not what saves you. It's the bigger deal. Praise God. He said, my desire is that I wish I would even be cut off. I wish I would just be able to pay an ultimate sacrifice for these guys. And they are going to become saved. So that they will know that there is nothing they can achieve by their own strength, in their own righteousness. Praise God. Romans chapter 4 was talking about our father. He said, what did for our father Abraham? He said, what did he find? He said, for if it was righteousness was achievable by works, he said, he had whereof to boast. He said, but not before God. So I can tell you about my fasting life. Maybe we are talking about fasting, about my study life, about my prayer. Like, I won't stand before a demon and be saying, I pray twice in a week. I fast 7 days in a week. No. I'm going to stand on in the finished work wherein I have attained by being saved. And I'm going to do what I should do. Praise God. Praise God. Are we together? Are we together? Okay. We need to understand this, that we have the righteousness of God regardless of us. I mean, if there is anything you contributed, if there is anything contributed, you're just saying, okay, I believe. But you know that even that belief, it was a word that came with power unto you. And that word built a conviction in you and you're able to. But you know, you can still say, okay, I'm not receiving your leg or whatever. But after that, I like the way Pastor Seku put it. Pastor Seku says that once you become born again and you become, you are a new creation. He said, just like a baby cannot come to this world and say, don't burn me again. Don't burn me again. Me, I'm going. He said, there are some things even in this life that is independent of your choice. You know, you only have your choice. You are only making your choice. If I stand on this roof and I want to jump, you know, my choice is only valid to the point I jumped. Can I jump and midway through and say, I don't want to go again? You will die. There's something, so your righteousness became suspended at the point you came into this reality. It became suspended. All you would ever have to boast of forever is the righteousness of God that is in who? In Christ Jesus. Praise God. Yes, you must also embrace the reality of our peace and justification. You must embrace the reality that you are justified by the blood. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Abby? True. True. True now. True our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. Being justified by faith. We must understand that the reality of our justification, why you and I will not stand condemned, why you and I are acquitted forever, is because what? It's because of someone that shed his blood. And that brings peace to the heart. I hope you know. I hope you know. Praise God. Are we together? Are we together? It brings peace to our hearts. To know that, no, I stand before God. You know, in the real sense of the word, if I favor you, somehow, there is this timidity that comes before you hold me your life. I mean, you're not free. You still think maybe I could change my mind. This guy saved me. Sir, I hold you my life. But do you know, before the one that saved us, we start confident every day. And that's why we can approach the throne. We can come boldly. We can come before God every day. The righteousness is what? It's the ability to approach God without any sense of what? Inferiority. Without any sense of guilt or condemnation. Right? That is it. You come every day. It brings peace to the heart. It brings peace to the troubled heart. That's what Paul was saying, is that there are some people that want to trouble you. Romans chapter 9 verse 30 to 32. Romans chapter 9 verse 30 to 32. Romans chapter 9 verse 30 to 32. Romans 9. It says that, what shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, but the Jew which followed not after the law of righteousness, had not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling block. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Galatians 2:21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. were Jesus, would you die for something people can get by other means? Now, some of us work in an office. Sometimes anything you know somebody else can do, that's what you delegate. Do you know? So that you can have time to do the things only you can do. Am I right? Something else. So if Jesus knew it was possible for righteousness, why would he die? They died in vain. It's not possible. We cannot be justified in ourselves. We cannot have peace. And if Ephesians 2, he said, for he is our peace. He said, what? Because he has broken the wall of partition. So what looked like was coming as a prophecy to the Israel nation. He said, we now have access to what? To the same thing, the same spirit by one father. We are to the father by the same spirit. Abi? Because he has broken that. He said, we are now, although we are strangers, he said, we are aliens from the commonwealth of Zion. See, commonwealth of Zion is not money. It's not money, it's not car. The commonwealth is the indwelling of the spirit. He said, we were strangers, we were aliens. He said, we are strangers to the covenant of to the covenant of peace. He said, but now, what is it? He said, the wall, he said, it has been broken. He is our peace. Say, he is my peace. He is my peace. Colossians 1:20. In his work, he dealt with the issue of our peace. He became our peace. He became our justification. His death is the reality of our peace. Colossians 1:20. Who is there? Who is there? I'm almost done. Praise God. He said he did what? He made peace through the blood of his cross. So we became peaceful forever. And in Colossians 2:20, he says, wherefore, if he be dead with Christ from the rudiment of this world, he said, why as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a shoe of wisdom in way worship and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. They have it. You know, they look sensible, really. It looks sensible that if you don't pay your tithe, devourers will come for you. It looks sensible, right? But it's senseless sensibilities. Is it any English like that? Why? Because these things are convenient to believe. It's easy to believe them. But these ones too, if you actually read your Bible, you would know that this thing is saying this thing. Praise God. Okay, the last thing that would help you or that would indicate that truly you have been able to embrace the finished work is that you demonstrate his power. So let me say this. Do not listen to any minister or any preacher that plays down the power of God. The power of God is very important. You know, things are not normal in this life. And you do this thing also by faith. You do it because of the finished work. The reason you can cast out demons, the reason you can heal the sick, the reason you can do miracles is because of what is finished work of Christ. Pastor Nyika said that the only qualification for getting a miracle is that you need one. The only qualification you need to get a miracle is that you need one. It's not that you go and fast, you go and pray, you go and pay tithes. No. It's that you need one. And when you know that you need one, what will you do? You just call those things forward. You use the power of God to override circumstances and get the desired result in life. He said, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He said, he went about doing good, healing those and others that were oppressed. He said, for what? For God was with him. He said, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. So we received power when he became born again. Mark 16. He said, go ye into the world and preach, Abi. He said, this I shall follow them that believe in my name. Is it in your father's name? Is it in the name of your righteousness? Talk to me now. It's in the name of what? In his name. We do these things in his name. Praise God. So let's embrace this work by demonstrating his power. Matthew 28, verse 18. A proper appreciation of the work done in Christ makes the supernatural happen. It makes it to the supernatural. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because you have all the power. You have the power to give utterance. You have the power to resist the resistor. You have the power to do the seemingly impossible. You go for outreaches. And there is, we've gone to do outreach in a place where there is just one Christian. And when we told the woman said, what they have shown her in this country, in that village. We went there. We stayed 3 days. Nothing happened. Souls were saved. Men spoke in tongues. Why? Because all power in heaven and on earth has been given unto him. And he has given it unto us in the finished work. Praise God. Okay, Acts 19:2-12. And Acts chapter 3:1-10. Yeah, I'm almost done. Acts 3:1-10. Are we there? Are we in church? You know you can be in church and not be in touch. Don't mind that nonsense I just said. Okay. Acts 3:1-10. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Now remember that these guys, when they were with Jesus, there was a time they could not cast out devils. Okay? And he came, the master, why could we not do this thing? He said, don't let us go into this kind of way, not that we say prayer. But really, he wasn't talking about demons not going about prayer and fasting. Hope you know. Do we know that? He wasn't talking about prayer. This can't go out, not out, except by fasting and prayer. It was not meaning this kind of demon. Because that means pastor will come here every Sunday. When they bring them up, possess people, pastor will be like, okay, let me see. Is it the one that goes with fasting and prayer? Okay, this one goes with praise worship. This one goes with fasting. This one goes with prayer. Oh, this one goes with drum set and keyboard. Oh, the one that is going to, you have to bring her back. Why did I use her? You have to bring him back next 2 weeks after I have done 14 days fasting. Because this time that he doesn't go by fasting and prayer. You know, it doesn't make sense. You know, sometimes you don't need too much exegesis. That means you cannot cast out demons on the go. If there are some demons that respond to only fasting and prayer, what if you are not fasting? The demon will beat you. Okay, so it's not, that was not the but that's not where I'm going. He said, so this same guy is in Acts chapter 3 now says, and a certain man lame from the woman's mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask counsel of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked and hands. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave to them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. See, silver and gold I have none could be like, fasting and prayer, I have none. Fast and prayer, I'm just saying. It would be like, my own righteousness, I have none. There is nothing good I have. But what I have, I will give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. That should be our creed. So silver and gold, see, you know, he was actually talking about silver and gold, no. But if I want to introduce Rema, the way they used to say, the silver and gold here means that you don't have efforts. It means you don't have anything in yourself to give them. He wasn't talking about money, praise God. But you know, it was silver and gold, as in silver and gold. That was what he was talking about. Okay. He said, I have none. He said, but what I have, I do. I give to you. Abby? He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Now let's see what happened next. And they knew that it was he which sat her hands at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed heard Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's Greatly Wondering. And when Peter saw it, He said unto the people, ye men of Israel, ye men of Nigeria, ye men of Abuja. He says, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man walk? That God of Abraham, blah, blah, blah. He now went. He now started talking about what? About the finished work. How the work happened. It started from where? The promise as it was given to Abraham. That came down, came down, came down. Every time kind of abuse, okay. Which you people get you sleep. And I'm on a tree. Why? Describing the death and burial. That's the reason we are able to do this. We did not ask you why you are doing signs and wonders, and you're able to say it's because of the things you have done. No, it's because of what Christ has done. Say it with me, it's because of what he has done. It's because of what he has done. I demonstrate the power because of what he has done. I do the work of miracles because of what he has done. I heal the sick because of what he has done. I raise the dead because of the work he has done. I heal the lepers because of the work he has done. I preach the gospel because of what he has done. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So it's because of what? It's because of the power. It is our failure to see that these works are related to the finished works. That's why we are not able to replicate them. It is our failure. And this drops us a lot. There's so many things we should use. I was telling someone, I said, the believer is the cheat. I'm going to use that word in quote. The believer is the cheat. You can cheat death. You can cheat sickness. You can cheat failure. You can cheat everything. I mean, because of the power of God, you have an advantage. It's called the Christ advantage. The finished work advantage. You can cheat anything. You can cheat any situation. I mean, you don't have to go through all the processes that people go through. Not because you want to just go through it, but because you know you can use the supernatural. You can cheat. Death is coming. And you can see that, oh, this thing is actually dead. And you can cheat it by the power of God. You see sickness. You cheat it by the power of God. And you know the beautiful thing? It doesn't matter where you use it. Let me give you, do you know that you believe it's so powerful that you can use power to prevent sickness? Jesus. You can use power to prevent sickness. But do you know that if you don't use power to prevent it, when the sickness comes, you can use power to heal it. Let's say the sickness makes the person die, you can use power to raise the person back to life. There is no time you want to introduce power, it will work. So it doesn't matter if Lazarus died, if you come day one, you will raise him. Day two, you will raise him. Day three, you are never late. Praise God. Because you have the power. And the power does not suspend time. Why? Because of his finished works. Praise God. Because of his finished works. Sometimes we behave powerless. We act as though we are not worthy. Because we are not clean enough to do these things. Because we don't see the importance of the finished work of Christ. And you feel unclean. You feel unworthy. You feel you are not powerful. But you are. You are powerful. You are mighty. You are a strong army. You are part of a strong army. You can do things. All you need to do is embrace the finished work of Christ. Delight yourself in that which Christ did. And you're going to do exploits. You're going to do exploits. He said Israel, they did what? They served God. All the days of Joshua and those that even after Joshua. He said why? Because they know the works of God. Say, I know the work of God. I am not ignorant. I am not ignorant. My eyes are opened. My understanding is clear. I reckon with that which he has done for me in Christ, and I lay hold of it to my benefit. Praise the Lord. The apostles, they were strong on this. We should be. We should be careful. We should deliberately do it. That the work of Christ is embraced at all times. That we're going to count everything as lost. Paul taught it. Jesus taught it. That you Pharisees, you guys are doing this. You're paying the tithe of this. You're doing this. He said, you guys are reading the scripture yourself. You think it's in that scripture. He said that you will find eternal life. He said, but no, I am the life. He said, you will not talk to me that you are alive. But this book is what speaks of me. It's Jesus alone. And Peter, Paul, demonstrating this in Philippians 3. As I close, Philippians 3 says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you. To me, indeed, it's not grievous, but for you, it is safe. Say, it is safe to embrace the work. It is safe to embrace the work. He says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, for we are the circumcision, which worship God in the spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. I have no confidence in the flesh, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. If another man thinketh that he hath whereof, he might trust in the flesh. I more circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness of the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of the suffering, being made conformable unto the said. Say, I know him. I know the power of resurrection. I know the finished work. It is a work mightily in me. I can do great things with it. Because he lives, I can do great stuff. I can do things because Jesus is alive evermore. I embrace the finished work of Christ today. I'm concerned about it. And he should. Only by knowing this can we be rooted and established in that which he has done for us. We embrace it in all his righteousness, in all his justification, with the peace that comes with it, and with the power that comes with it. The kingdom of God is not in meat and drink. It's in righteousness, joy, and what? And the joy of the Holy Ghost. We do great things because we believe his work. Glory to God. Can we speak in tongues together this morning? Madosta libre gados, shatalabados, sofofrehendali, lecos otos azaprehenda libre gados, maza potos tati prehendali, mazozozozozozo librados, tanda libre handos, galibre gados, endedali, lima sotunda libre gados, legadadozozo prehenda libre gados, profrehendali, librados, shatata libre gados, undo de prehendali. Inga gaga Libra dos. There is no other thing. It's Jesus. It's his work. Jesus is the answer. He's everything you would ever need. You will not need any other thing any day of your life but Jesus. The songwriter says Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there is no other thing. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer. Can we rise together and sing together this morning? Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. You're not going to have any other confidence. You're not going to have any other strength. You're not going to have any other power. You have no other reality from the word that crystallized in his death, burial, and resurrection. The work was done from the foundation of the world. There is no other thing. There is no other thing that compares to that. No other thing comes close. Is the answer. I embrace it. I embrace this reality. I walk in them. Is the answer. Is the solution. Is the strength I need? Is the establishment I need? Is the one I need to be rooted? Is the one I need to grow? Is the one I need to manifest the face of the Spirit? Is the one I need to heal the sick, to raise the dead? works of Jesus. The works of God. It's Jesus. Jesus. It's Jesus. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer for the world today, tomorrow, forever.
Jesus is the way.
Can we sing like we recognize this reality? Like we have embraced it fully. And we've decided to embrace it strongly going forward. And nobody will trouble us again. Nobody will put any other yoke upon us. His burden is light. His yoke is easy. He drop every other thing. For Jesus alone. Jesus alone. This reality dawns on our hearts. Every day it dawns on our hearts. It dawns on our hearts. This reality dawns on our hearts. Lord, I show you this. We are not troubled anymore.
For the world today, heaven, there's no harder. Jesus is
Jesus, Jesus,
Jesus be the answer.
Of Christ. You know the best way to embrace what you have? To use it, right? Peter said, silver and gold I have not, but such as I have, I give you. It is mine to give. The authority I have in Christ is mine to give. The power to heal the sick is mine to give. So what do we have in Christ? Tongues is ours. Interpretation of tongues is ours. The word of knowledge, word of wisdom. So today we are going to have 5 to 10 minutes and just fellowship with the things that we have. So I just want you to locate somebody. Workers, of course, don't hold yourself. Meet someone you've not met before. You're going to hold hands together. And you're going to give what you have. Let things flow from within you. Let it be a tongue and interpretation. Let it be communication of healings. Whatever it is, let problems be resolved in this place. Let words be... Pastor Ezekiel, no, I don't like that alliance. I don't like that. No, okay, yes. Move on, somebody. Everybody attach yourself to somebody that is... Today, where is Kelvin? Where is Kelvin? Where is Kelvin? What is it, Kelvin? Hallelujah. So let things flow. Consciously bless one another. Consciously resolve issues. Give something, such as you have, you give. It's tangible. It's tangible. Resolve issues. Resolve issues together by the authority that you have in Christ. Let sickness not leave this place. Let sickness not leave this place. Give a tongue. Give an interpretation. Give a word of wisdom. Give a word of knowledge. Settle the questions in somebody's hearts right now. Use the power that you have. Oh, let it flow. Let it flow. Ensure you are communicating something. Give and receive. Give and receive. Bless somebody by the power of the Holy Ghost. Bless someone by the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, such as you have. 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 We embrace the works of Christ. We use it. We use it, we use it, we use it, we use it. Oh, let it flow. Let it flow. Awesome times are upon us. Let it flow. Let it flow. Oh, katashi brekedonsis. Venamanta latis umbre halavakate city bandasha. Echo bomba katis ifrekabata latosh prevenaniata. Mandele katosi antabaka fiko cumbre elekande yadabada di kofrikata si. Basha frekonanta paka